If not, I would entertain a motion.
I move approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, I think that on page 12, as they are presented here, where it refers to in the middle of the motion of Mr. Zimmerman moving to amend the substitute motion, and it records the ayes and nays on that, that, you know, there should be probably some sentence after that for those that come later that are trying to figure out why that didn't prevail, just to say the motion failed for lack of a vote from the state of Maryland. By reading this next year, would say, well, gee, it passed 4-2. What happened there?
Without exception, yeah. Then the minutes will be modified to reflect Mr. Smith's comment or his amendment.
Well, that should be the same case on both.
No, nothing else failed for lack of a vote. That particular motion failed for lack of, I mean, it passed, but it failed for lack of a vote from the state of Maryland. None of the other ones did that.
Farther down.
Anything else had two?
Which one? Where, Mr. Deegan?
Down here.
At the bottom?
Yeah, and at the top. Are you in the middle of the page?
First, yeah, the Mr. Zimmerman's motion on the first instance has four ayes, two nays. Which one are you referring to?
You go down, Mrs. Mack's vote, it was two nays and four ayes, and then Mr. Zimmerman moved again. And
that was two ayes and four nays, no? Four nays, there's not, that failed on vote.
Yeah, but the very last paragraph.
Last paragraph. My motion and your second? Okay,
yeah.
Again, that's two ayes and four nays.
So that should also reflect that the state of Maryland.
No. The point, I mean, the vote is the vote on that. It failed.
I got you.
On the all other right. One, the vote actually passed, but the motion failed for a lack of a vote from the state of Maryland.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Then, without exception, the minutes will be approved as modified by Mr. Smith. Thank you. We now will have a report by the Writers Advisory Council.
Is that both minutes?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Matt. The Writers Advisory Council met for its monthly meeting in May on Wednesday, May 3rd. Like just to draw attention just to a few quick items of particular importance. There was a motion that was approved by the Writers Advisory Council urging the agency not eliminate service on the M2 bus route, M as in Mary, if I may. The issue first came to our attention from some email messages that had been circulated, written by folks who ride the M2 bus, the DC Night Riders group, the new grassroots organization, helped articulate some of the arguments as to why it was merited to retain the bus service on that bus route. It's a morning and evening commuter bus. It's a smaller bus, and so ridership is lower, partially simply because of the smaller bus. And the statistics on the M2 show that it fails only 2 out of 5 criteria rather than 4 out of 5 criteria, which is what usually makes a bus route candidate for being cut. We spoke with staff a number of times, and we were pleased to see that subsequent to there being a fair amount of communication expressing concern about the elimination of that route, that the route is being recommended to be retained instead of being cut. The one other issue that we'd like to draw your attention to is with regard to the proposal to change policy with respect to parking at rail stations, and that we urge the agency to not, urging that the agency move up the time as the cutoff 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. so that once drivers who are at the parking lot have had the opportunity to park by 9 a.m., then spaces that are reserved are then available for other people who are going to work really by around 9 a.m. After that point in time, there's such a huge drop-off in the number of people who are coming into the parking lots to try to get a parking spot that once 10 o'clock comes around, there's fewer people who would have the opportunity to fill up what is left over empty spaces. And finally, we'd like to congratulate both the board and Ms. Deborah Johnson on her promotion, expected promotion, I should say, as secretary for the agency. And lastly, just a quick mention that we are sending a letter to the county executive in Prince George's County. As we understand it, that employees of the county government there do not have access to SMART benefits, and we're hopeful that they will join the program with other governments in the region to participate in the program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Duffy. And your comments will certainly be noted for discussion of the issues that you raised. We now move to our public comment period. We have three people who have signed. I'm sorry. It looks like one person has been deleted. So we have two people who have signed up to speak today. We have Brooke Bernal.
Night Riders, and I'd like to thank you all as the board for having this public comment session and encourage you to increase it in the future. As the DC Night Riders, we would also like to thank the WMATA staff for doing all that they can to try and improve the service here in DC and leaving room for public comment, which we feel is really important. Most importantly, when they were looking at late night cuts, they left lots of room for us to make comments, share our concerns, and work with them, and we really encourage them to do that in the future and thank them. As DC Night Riders, when we were looking at the late night cuts, we had five main concerns. And though you're not covering this at this meeting, we would just like you to think about them and mull over them for the future when you do cover them. One of them was we'd like to point out that the city is growing. Economic development is at an all-time high. And bus service is one of those crucial things that brings people to new and emerging neighborhoods. Secondly, the notification to the public about the cuts. On several of the lines that we rode, notification was kind of inaccurate or not really existent until the day of. And so we would just like to encourage the staff to have more public notification so more people like the DC Night Riders can come forward and share their concerns and work together with WMATA to make the service the best as possible. Lastly, we'd like to talk about public safety. Here in DC, we think that WMATA works together with everybody else to make the city a better place. And therefore, when thinking of public safety, we're thinking of transportation as well. Think about drunk driving, and one of the best ways to do that is to have public service that runs late at night. Lastly, we think about the crime rate here in the city and how public late night service really helps to reduce crime as people are moving into newer neighborhoods with higher crime rates. Again, Metro is a public service. We'd like to think that it opens doors, and we'd like to continue doing that late at night. At the DC Night Riders, we had the ability to save one of our late night buses, the D6, and so we'd like to congratulate all of you and thank you for all of your participation and help with that, and thank the staff for making the recommendation to the board that the bus run on an hourly service. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bernal. Our next speaker is Mr. Alan Greenberg.
Metro rail rider and an occasional Metro bus user. And while I speak for myself today, I continue to work in the Washington Regional Network for Livable Communities and metroriders.org. I'm speaking about two proposed parking pricing and policy resolutions that I understand are going to take and not at the board meeting today. Washington Regional Network has addressed this general issue in a park anytime proposal previously provided the board, which would, among other things, increase some parking prices to market levels. And I'm aware that MetroRiders.org submitted comments to you yesterday about the proposals. MetroRiders.org does not believe that the package sent to the Customer Service Committee provides an adequate justification for the parking fee increases proposed and urges that the WMATA staff redo that package. I agree with this, but also believe that there's enough evidence that demand for parking exceeds supply at most stations to justify your proposed modest price increases. Regarding the proposal to reallocate the parking spaces, I agree with one but disagree with the other. Converting the underutilized meters from 7 hours to 12 hours makes sense, but increasing the number of lot spaces dedicated to reserve monthly parking program from 15% to 30% is bad policy. The greater the proportion of parking costs that are fixed in a given month, the more individuals will park and ride on days that it would be convenient for them to get the metro. Further, there are people who only need to commute in 1 or 2 days a week, and this metro should allow the number of spaces dedicated to be more efficiently used by pricing them appropriately. After the 15% cap has reached the station, guaranteed monthly parking charges should automatically be increased by $5 a month until station waiting lists no longer exceed some portion of the available spaces. Similarly, prices should be reduced if station rates are not met. A similar concept should be deployed for daily parking. And indeed, BART is doing both of these things. They vary their monthly parking rates from $30 to $84 per month, depending upon demand. And they just instituted, on May 8th, a daily reserve parking program with a premium charge as high as $4 a day additional for a daily reserve space.
To wrap up, Mr. Greenberg, your time is over.
My full remarks detail how to set some prices more specifically and provide a little bit more information about what BART is doing, but I would urge you to consider those approaches, and I'd be happy to work with you, and the organizations I work would be happy to work with you to find some constructive ways of dealing with it. You should be commended for beginning to address this, but there are more additional steps that should be taken. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments and your continued interest in this issue. I know you have worked very hard on it, so we look forward to continuing to work with you on these matters. Thank you. I now have the pleasure of swearing in our newly appointed secretary to the board. Deborah Johnson, would you come forward? I just want to comment how pleased we are to have a board secretary and also to have Deborah Johnson as our secretary. As you know, she is already an employee of the authority. She has been here, I believe, for 3 years, and we are very excited about the opportunity to work with her as our new board secretary. So welcome.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Cockman.
Just briefly wanted to comment. I had the privilege of working with Ms. Johnson as we brought the rack into the world, and I can just tell you that we have indeed found a very accomplished professional, and I look forward to even greater things from Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you. We now will have the report by the general manager.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. As the entire board and everyone here is painfully aware, a Metro ATC technician or automatic train control technician, Mr. Zhang Wan Lee, was killed this Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning. The entire Metro team pulled together to help begin the investigation and to deal with the service interruptions, and I went with two members of the team to notify the family. We've been working since with the family and with members of our team to deal with the results. We have learned about preparations that have been made for the Lee family funeral, and I'd like to make those available for people right now. That the funeral will take place this Saturday at 10 a.m. at Fairfax Community Church at 11451 Braddock Road, with a burial to follow. Flowers may be sent to Fairfax Memorial Funeral Home at 9902 Braddock Road. We're working closely with the family to try to help them through this difficult period, and we're working closely with our staff as well here in the authority to help them. We've also set up with the union, Local 689 of the Amalgamated Transit Union, a program between labor and management to look at all of our safety rules that we'll be developing over the next several months. We're also going to use the peer review program, the APTA peer review program that you've made available to us, to reach out and try to find best practices both in the transportation industry but in other industries so we can do what we can to make this the safest possible place to work. There'll be a rally later this morning by ATU and other members of that union to call for greater attention to safety, and we believe that we will do everything in our power to work with them, to work with those employees to meet the call of that rally to try to achieve the goals that they're attempting to establish. I'd also like to point to a number of Metro Transit police events that we had this past Friday. Certainly on the very happy side, we had our annual recognition award on Friday morning, and we were joined by Charlie Deegan, who was there to help us recognize officers who do heroic acts and just basic acts of goodness every day throughout our system. We also dedicated the Marlin F. Morales station that afternoon, dedicating the new station that we broke ground on for Marlin Morales, who was killed in action about 5 years ago. Earlier this week, we took a tour of the King Street station and the improvements we made there. We were joined there by Mayor Ewell from the board and Congressman Jim Moran. Tomorrow, we'll be encouraging people to join us in a bike to work celebration. And earlier today, we showed people how to use the bike rack on our buses. I'm not going to go on much further, Madam Chair, given the tightness of our schedule. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Tangalini. Did you indicate that Mr. Graham and I were also at the Morales event?
I'm very sorry.
Thank you.
I'm very sorry. I apologize. I was very glad to be joined at the Morales, a groundbreaking event, by Chairwoman Mack and Mr. Graham, and certainly the entire Morales family.
Thank you. We were all saddened to learn of the passing of Mr. Lee, and I would just ask us in his honor to recognize a moment of silence. Thank you. We will move now to the Planning and Development Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Planning and Development Committee met on May 4th. One of the principal items being a multi-year procurement for a bus, which I believe we are not going to have as an action item today, but...
That's correct. That was removed from the agenda.
And so that will be at, presumably, at the June meeting. In any case, we did have considerable discussion on the staff proposal, which the committee voted to recommend favorably. The dissenting votes from the district concerning the issue, I guess, which is the occasion of the delay. The recommendation is to fund purchase of hybrid electric buses, and that is in conflict with an existing budgetary position of the district government, and I trust that that's going to be worked on, and some sort of resolution will be arrived at prior to the June meeting. Second item concerned the annual work program of, I don't know why we have to think, what is a P2D?
Go ahead. Yes, it's a Parsons Transportation Group, Parsons, Bringerhoff, and DeLong Hampton, and they selected that name for themselves.
So you're actually not responsible for this one. It's not even Metro's fault. I don't know when names and, full words became no longer acceptable. At any rate, this is the annual work program for on-call engineering service contracts that cover areas including architecture, engineering services, vehicle engineering, consultant services, planning, architecture, and engineering services for any future New Starts projects, he said, hopefully. The committee recommended approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move approval by the board, Madam Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that is passed.
The staff was also, the committee was also briefed by staff on the adjacent construction and engineering services. This is an item, a future action item. The issues concern the nature of our fee. We basically have a program that was not based on fee and was not really based on the cost being recovered. And at the same time, also, there are concerns that it's very hard to get work done in a timely way, and staff is working on a proposal to bring to us that would have the potential for a fee that might potentially recover the cost associated, but also hopefully provide better service to those who are waiting for approvals in order to get on with projects that are near our facilities. The staff will be talking to local jurisdictions and developers to gain some feedback and developing, an ultimate proposal. And I don't know when we can expect that. I wonder, maybe Mr. Salpeas can tell me. When do we have an idea of when staff might be coming back with the proposal for action on the joint development adjacent construction?
We were planning to come back in September.
September, okay.
September.
All right, well, we look forward to that, and hopefully that will make things easier in the future, not only in joint development projects, but in for all construction that takes place near Metro facilities, for which potential impact on Metro is obviously an issue that has to be carefully reviewed, but also one which we don't want to hold up every bit of activity, not for them and not for us. That concludes my report, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. We will now have a report from the Real Estate Committee by Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Real Estate Committee met in public session on May 4th, 2006, and voted to recommend for board consideration of the following item, approval to initiate a retail service pilot program. In July 2004, the board voted to allow commercial activities subject to board approval of its specific uses, excluding food, beverages, and tobacco, in the free areas of Metro Rail stations to increase revenues for the authority. Expanding upon the successful ATM program, staff proposes to issue a request for RFP for a retail demonstration program in 12 Metro Rail stations throughout the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. Permit this program regulation concerning use by others of the WMATA property will be amended to allow retail activities in paid areas of the Metro Rail stations, and a change in the jurisdictional laws will be sought. The committee decided that the request for alternate proposals for food were permitted should not be made at this time, and that the RFP should go forward without reference to food abuses. It's a very exciting program that we're putting forth, and I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Mr. Deacon.
The Real Estate Committee met in executive session on May 4, 2006 and voted to recommend board consideration of the following items. First, the authorization for staff to extend the negotiating period for 180 days on the Morgan Boulevard Master Development Agreement, and authorize staff to continue negotiations with Garrett Morgan Boulevard Joint Venture. I move approval.
The motion.
Second.
I have a second. Discussion. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed. That's approved.
Approval for extension of the negotiating period for a non-binding Grosvenor North lease and sale term sheets to July 31, 2006. I move approval of that project extension.
Motion. Can we have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. That's approved. Thank you.
We have approval of selection of developer for the New Carrollton North Joint Development Project. This is a very exciting project in Prince George's County. WMATA offered the New Carrollton North Joint Development site in July 28, 2004 as a joint development solicitation. After working with two proposing teams and obtaining additional information requested by Prince George's County, both proposals improved. However, the federal development proposal was the one more attractive of the two. Staff's evaluation concluded that federal's proposal was the preferred alternative based on the density mixed of uses and the financial offer, compatibility with the county's New Carrollton transit-oriented development strategy planning study. The proposed uses include office, retail, residential, and a hotel. Staff will be authorized to negotiate a term sheet with federal development as a selected developer. I move approval.
Have a motion. Can we have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved.
Okay, lastly, we have...
Are you on E yet?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Deacon, staff is getting copies of the existing resolution for board members, so we just like to ask that we put this later in the agenda with your permission.
No problem.
Thank you very much. All right, then we move to the Budget Committee. Mr. Graham.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Mack. The following actions have been referred to the board by the Budget Committee. First, approval of the staff report and recommendations on the proposed elimination of regional Metrobus routes 9B Hunting Towers, Crystal City, and 10P Mount Vernon Avenue, Crystal City. This action requested approval of a staff report and recommendations to eliminate those bus routes as of June 25th. The public hearing was held on March 9th in Alexandria. The FYO subsidy will be reduced by $1.1 million. So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Zimmerman.
As I noted at the committee, I want to state again that although this is kind of stated in fairly narrow terms as the elimination of two routes, it should be understood that this was actually done in the context of a study and restructuring of some routes, which include new routes, which are not part of this action, but which in fact have, at least in one case, already been implemented. So for instance, there isn't a 9B, but there is now a 9S, and the 9S began on April, I want to say 24th, but it's sometime in April anyway, and runs on very frequent service in the Crystal City area. I believe the service matches the, is it the yellow line train or is it the blue line train? At any rate, it's a Metro Rail frequency, not unlike what we did on Columbia Pike with the 16 line a couple of years ago. And on the Alexandria side, where I'm less familiar, the Dash routes are coming in. So, you know, the Metro Bus 10P won't be there, but there will be Dash routes coming. Mr. Reck, was there anything that I should have added to that or forgotten?
Well, I think that's correct. Basically, the service is being replaced by the 9S and the two Dash services, so the interconnections are made, and I don't think there's any inconvenience to passengers and better service for all.
You know, whenever we make a change, there's an inconvenience to somebody. There's always at least one passenger for whom things are made worse, but even if you're making it better for 100 people or 500 people. So, you know, not to make light of a change, but the fact of the matter is this is a situation where we're restructuring the service, having studied it and found this to be an optimal way to provide it. So it is not simply elimination of bus service, but this is the last part of it, eliminating the old service, instituting new service. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Zimmerman, I'm happy to hear that because I also am always sad when we move service. Sometimes only a few people ride it, but it's their only opportunity for public transportation. So I'm pleased to see that as well. Those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you. Mr. Graham.
The second item is approval to initiate and award contracts for installation of ITRP learning management applications. The staff requested approval to initiate and award these contracts to provide installation support for the PeopleSoft Learning Management Information System with an estimated cost not to exceed $900,000. Funding of $700,000 is available from the approved FY06 operating budget, and $200,000 is included in the proposed FY07 operating budget. I move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Ms. Graham.
We had several information items, which I'm just going to mention very briefly. We were provided information and a staff report regarding proposed passenger fares and parking fees for four holidays and various service changes, which is also would be consequential to that service. We also received information on the Metro Matters year-end financial report, and we had a rather good discussion about those issues. We will have further recommendations from the general manager at the June Budget Committee meeting, and we had the FY06 operating budget third quarter financial report, and we discussed that as well. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. We have now the Customer Service and Operations Committee, one item left there. Mr. Smith.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. Referred to item C on page 2, and the item left is to exercise the option year 2 for the parking management contract, and that is to, we move approval to, or we ask for approval of the Board of Directors to exercise option year 2 and modify the contract to allow the authority to staff to schedule staff for system expansion, tourist season, and events at FedEx Field. Move approval of the staff recommendation.
Second.
With motion and second. Discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, that's approved.
It just needs to be clarified.
Okay. We're not ready on the TIF yet because we don't have the copies. Okay, we'll move on to the administrative actions. Our first action is Mr. Zimmerman.
If there's no objection, I'd move the adoption of the administrative items A1 through 11 en bloc.
We have a motion and a second.
Second.
There. All right. No one wants to pull out any action. Great. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. That's approved. Now, that does bring us to the action that we're not quite ready for.
Silly me.
Right. Okay. We'll ask for reports. Mr. Graham, is there a report from DC?
Surely.
just to say how moving it was to be at the Officer Morales dedication at Fort Totten. And it was a wonderful event, and I think that having the family there and having Metro so dedicated to that issue is a very special message. And to have it at Fort Totten, of course, is very pleasant. We have a plaque to Officer Morales on U Street, which is the station, tragically, where he was killed in the line of duty. But this was very special. And Chief Hansen, your remarks were very moving also. And so I just, that's our report from the District of Columbia.
Thank you. And I would ask Chief Hansen to tell us what Mr. Morales' widow is doing now. I just thought that was very interesting.
As I indicated on Friday, I barely knew Marlon before his death. I had written him a note upon learning of the birth of his daughter weeks before. I've certainly come to know a lot about him now and consider his widow, Jennifer, to truly be a friend of mine. And Jennifer was very involved here in the D.C. chapter of the Concerns of Police Survivors that for many years was led by Shirley Gibson, who's now gone on to a national office, the mother of Brian Gibson, the Metropolitan Police Officer that was slain in the line of duty. Jennifer was from Illinois, as was Marlon. I went to college there. Jennifer decided to return home last summer and found out that Illinois did not have a chapter of the Concerns of Police Survivors and went on to start the chapter and is serving as their first president. And the reason that we had the groundbreaking last week was because Jennifer did come to town for Police Week representing the Illinois chapter of COPS. So we're just very proud of her. And I want to thank Larry. Larry was able to send photographs. So by the time Jennifer got home, she got to see some of the beautiful photographs that Larry had taken of the groundbreaking. So she really appreciated that as well.
That's wonderful. And another footnote, I want to thank our staff that arranged the event. In addition to our typical shovels that we have for groundbreaking, there was a small shovel for the five-year-old, and the family was really, really pleased with that. That was a very nice touch. So thank you. Mr. Deegan. Reports.
From Maryland?
Yes.
Well, I too would like to second the comments on the Morales groundbreaking. Very moving. And earlier that morning, too, and where I attended the awards for our fine police officers, I have trouble expressing myself on this, particularly since in light of the death of the two Virginia officers this week. It's an emotional thing for my family, and you hear the fine things that Polly, your officers have done, and it's I just can't express my appreciation for them and you and the work that the Metro Transit Police have done, and you don't get enough credit for it. Having said that, one other thing from the state of Maryland, we're very pleased to have Deborah Johnson as our secretary. Couldn't come soon enough, and Deborah, we're glad to have you on board. Outside of that, there's nothing else to report from the great state of Maryland.
Thank you, Mr. Deegan. How about the great state of Virginia, Mr. Kaufman?
Nothing to report, Madam Chair, other than I very much appreciated Chief Hansen and her force being out in force at the funeral service for Detective RML Fairfax County.
Thank you. We will now move back to the TIF resolution, and we'll put it back in your hands, Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Mrs. Mack, for the exciting moment of the day. And we have approval of a transit Infrastructure Investment Fund, TIF, allocation policy. A resolution was presented to the committee for a new sub-allocation of TIF funds. Members expressed dissatisfaction that the resolution did not provide a certain future capital needs for the authority and that it was not clear that distributions would be made on a proportional basis, thanks to my predecessor. The revised resolution addresses these points. It provides that of the $61.8 million of additional TIF projected revenue, 60%, approximately $37.1 million, will be allocated subregionally, and 40%, approximately $24.7 million, will be allocated for regional purposes as determined by the board. TIF revenue will be allocated and drawn down on a proportional basis both as between the 60% category and the 40% category, and subregionally within the 60% category. The provision to repay the State of Maryland for funds advanced for the Silver Spring Transit Center remains the same, but the availability of such funds will be determined according to the proportional formula. I move approval.
Do I have a second? We have a motion and a second. Mr. Graham.
I have 2 points on this. First, I've had a hard go of this, but I keep trying. That the we need to have the Metro staff review the DC commitments in terms of the DC TIF funds, because we keep getting information which indicates that it's unobligated. In fact, there are obligations there. I have the documentation from several years ago, and I'd be glad to share them with you. I have an amendment which I would like to make to the resolution, which would add a new resolve clause that TIF funds will be deposited in individual jurisdictional accounts, and the balance in those accounts will be reported quarterly. And be it further resolved that no jurisdictional request for funding projects from individual TIF accounts will be honored unless adequate funds are available to meet that request and proportionate amounts are appropriately deposited in each individual jurisdictional account. I'll make the motion. I should pause for the second.
Permission.
A second.
A second.
Will we be able to see that in writing?
Here it is. Can you see it?
No, you want to borrow my glasses, Chris?
Would you read it again?
I forgot my opera glasses this morning.
The intention of this is, you know, which was the intention of the amendment, and is to make sure that before one jurisdiction spends, you know, its proportionate share, is that each of the jurisdiction has on account, in account, and on account, their proportionate share. In other words, we don't end up with a situation which, if my memory serves me correctly, has in fact happened before, where one jurisdiction, because of its alacrity in acting, you know, gets funds in when other jurisdictions haven't received their proportionate share.
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah, so that's the intention, and it's an intention that we've all discussed, and
sure.
And I think we have consensus on. All right, resolved. Do you want to hear the whole thing or the part that I added?
What do you mean the whole thing?
What's the whole thing?
The whole thing. Do you want to hear the whole thing? All right. TIF funds will be deposited in individual jurisdictional accounts, and the balance in those accounts will be reported quarterly. Okay. Be it further resolved that no jurisdictional request for funding projects from individual TIF accounts will be honored unless adequate funds are available to meet the request. Right?
Yeah, okay.
We won't honor any request unless there's money to honor it with.
And so far, that's just what's on this type sheet that I was
right. Okay. And the additional language, and proportionate amounts have been appropriately deposited in each individual jurisdictional account.
Where does that get inserted?
That's just at the end of it. It continues that sentence.
I would give leave to the general counsel, you know, if there's technical changes in the language, but the intention is that all of the jurisdictions would have their proportionate share in account, on account, before one jurisdiction was able to spend from its share.
You can't spend yours until I get mine. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's a good way of putting it.
Okay. All right. I think I support that, but I do have a question.
Mr. Chairman.
Before we went to amending this, I was going to ask a general question about the proposal before us.
Perhaps we can dispose of the amendment.
Well, then I have a question on the amendment.
Did you make a motion for the amendment?
And you seconded it.
I did, so, right. And it's still in place. Now, you want to comment on the amendment. Go right ahead.
Question, just to be sure I follow the very last words you mentioned about proportional amounts have been deposited in each individual account. So what I'm understanding then is leading up to a jurisdiction spending their share, that leading up to that point, proportional amounts have been deposited. So this is a precursor to the expenditure. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, all it says is that the money gets deposited in the three accounts. However many accounts are at the same time.
We only spend ours.
Yeah. Okay. You had another comment?
Well, I mean, if you hadn't gone right to amendment, I would have asked a more general question about the main motion, which, you know, we're now amending something I'm not sure I understand the main part of, which was why exactly are we changing the policy? What is it that changes? What is it that we're going to be doing differently than was done under the 2000 policy as modified in 2002?
As I read it, Mrs. Ehrman, I don't think we're changing anything.
Well, perhaps staff can help us, but right. If we're rescinding the old policy and putting a new one in place, there must be a reason.
I think, Madam Chair, if I could maybe clarify, certainly I'd defer to the council, but that was a previous allocation to divide up a defined amount of money, which has already been spent. This is sort of giving new life to it with another amount of money, as I understand it.
Right. So we're not changing a policy. We're simply
doing it again with a different.
Let me clarify that. In 2000, we established what was a general policy for how this program would operate.
Correct.
There was also, you know, a particular, you know, tranche of funds coming. I believe in 2002 we had something else, so there's another resolution in 2002. But the existing policy was explicitly maintained. The resolution of 2002 says that resolution 2050 shall remain in effect. Now we have something, again, dealing with, I understand, another set of funding issues. But we're rescinding the old policy, and if I can follow it, it looks like we're trying to place it in the new one, but that since we don't have a lined out version, I don't know, and I'm just trying to figure out, am I changing something else, and if so, why, and if not, why are we just not saying the old policy is still in effect?
If I may, Mr. Zimmerman, what we did was incorporate all of the policy pronouncements of the 2000 resolution into this resolution, and there are a couple of changes that are in this resolution. First, of course, it sub-allocates the additional tranches of funds, as you've described. But there's a 60-40 allocation. That's new. 60 sub-allocated to the jurisdictions with 40 reserved for regional. And so the drawdown will occur proportionally all throughout those funds. Mr. Graham's proposed amendment certainly captures with greater specificity the intent of the resolution. So there's no major policy change because we've incorporated all the prior policy pronouncements of the 2000 resolution. There's one other change, and the proportional allocation is now utilizing the IRP formula rather than the rail cap formula because it's largely not in use anymore. So
because the system was completed since the
correct.
Original thing.
So we put that in with the view that that's more appropriate now. And those are the main changes. Again, the 60-40 allocation, greater specificity about how the funds will be allocated and drawn down, and the change in the formula. The intent was to incorporate all the, if you will, policy statements of the 2050 resolution and put it in this resolution. So it's if rescinded is troublesome. We might use the resolution, the word we've used in prior resolutions, which is just superseded. It's largely superseded because we pulled everything forward and the specific dollar.
The word rescinded doesn't bother me. It's what am I rescinding? And, you know, again, if we had a lined out version that shows, you know, where it said 103-mile system before, now it says IRP, I can understand that. I can understand the rationale. I just want to know what it is I'm changing. And the part that surprised me, what you said, is the 60-40 distribution, because what did we use before? I mean, I remember we had sort of carefully negotiated a regional versus a
Right, and we did it in dollar terms, specific dollar terms.
Which happened to be.
I don't know what the percent turned out to be, but it's probably close to.
It wasn't a percentage allocation. There were specific amounts allocated sub-regionally, and then from that, and additionally, there were certain regional projects that were funded. It wasn't a specific percentage.
Okay, but and how did you come up with 60-40 then? Or that was based on what we actually had done the last time when you did the arithmetic?
That was my understanding that that was worked out among the members and Mr. Tangerlini. I didn't come up with it.
Tangerlini, how'd you come up with 60-40?
It was a discussion in the prior 2002 resolution. The balance was 54.4 million. 30 million available for sub-regional and 24.4 then for the regional projects. It through discussion
by the percentage to what we've done before.
It
was
rough percentage in a discussion with the boards.
Because I thought it was 60-40, and then I didn't really think that was something new.
Yeah,
it's new, and then it's being applied as a general principle.
It's some number that rounds roughly to 60-40, and that was in discussing with the board a way to move forward on the concerns that board members raised.
Third point you made about. The third thing you said that was changing or being made more specific. You cited three things.
How it's drawn down to make sure that there's no early drawdown from one jurisdiction. I mean,
from the Mr. Graham's amendment.
Well, we had attempted to do it in this draft. I certainly think Mr. Graham's proposed amendment makes it quite clear. So, again, we had attempted to provide that in this current draft in any event.
Madam Chairman, I have no problem. I can support the amendment and the motion. I would say, you know, in the future where we're changing an existing policy of the board, I would like to see them side by side. Here's what was, here's what we're proposing. So it's, you know, easy to track that.
Thank you. I agree with that. Ms. Kaufman.
Unfortunately, counsel's clarification added one more question for me. what is the difference between the percentage allocation of the sub-regional funds under the 2002 resolution versus the percentage allocation sub-regionally using the IRP formula under this proposal?
I'm sorry, I can't provide you that information. I have to confer with CFO staff to come up with the dollar differences.
Madam Chair, I think that'd be good to know what the difference is.
I agree.
I hope it isn't much of a difference, but I think we need to know what the difference is.
I agree. I think that we always have the opportunity, if we believe that that information alters what we've done significantly, we can always go back and modify it. So, if with your permission, could we go forward with this?
Well, if we could add some codicil that says, subject to a review percentage allocation to ensure it's closely approximates the previous allocation.
Would you accept that as the maker of the motion? Oh, that's that. We'll add that to the amendment. Okay, right. And as the seconder, I accept that. So now I think we vote on the amendment first. Is that what we do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Smith.
I'll vote on, we can vote on the amendment, then I have a question on the main motion.
Okay, all right.
And frankly, the amendment that you were just doing is probably not in order until after we deal with Mr. Graham's amendment.
I can't just add it? We just added it.
Part of that amendment. Is it part of
unless
that?
Unless the maker of the amendment would accept it as a friendly addition.
And he said he would.
Could you restate that?
Then restate it, please.
I can't.
I mean, there. That,
it's basically to check to make certain that the allocation under this IRP formula, percentage split sub-regionally, closely tracks with the previous percentage split. Because otherwise, I don't know what the hell I'm voting on.
Good point.
Well, why don't you just state that it's going to be that? I mean, don't tie it to the IRP. State that the percentage split will remain the same.
But we don't. He doesn't know what that means because we don't have
it. Well, you do. It maintains the status quo. I mean, you know what that means. What he's offering, you don't know what it means.
I would be supportive of that. I don't know whether Mr. Graham would be supportive of that.
Well, can I ask a question about that? The existing policy is based on the IRP allocation?
It's based on the 3-mile system.
Based on the rail construction formula, and since there is...
Yeah, well, I want to know.
There is no more rail construction, at least for the time being, going forward, and that would change, actually, depending on where the rail construction happens. The formula we have is the IRP formula, and since this policy goes through 2012, that's something that's continually renewed based on investment. So the idea was to use something more current and more explicable rather than something historic.
I don't know whether I want the new Coke or not.
but this proposed amendment gives us the opportunity to take a look and see if we want it, and if we don't, we can always amend it.
Is it that hard to find out right now with
the shares?
That's what I don't get.
Formally?
Might be, just because we weren't expecting the question. So we can try, but I don't know how long it'll take.
Call Peter Benjamin and ask him. He'll be able to.
Just a moment. Ms. Hudgens and then Ms. Graham.
Well, have the shares, has the proportionality of shares changed for the jurisdictions from what was allocated prior in the 2002? Asking for the proportionality, right?
You want to know? What's the answer to Ms. Hudgens' question?
Let me go. Okay. Why would they? Well, I'm just looking at 2002 and assuming that if there has been no change and we develop the formula, the 60-40 based upon a 2002 for the new allocation of funding, we should be able to answer the question by simply calculating the percentage differences for the jurisdictions, unless something has changed.
Well, I'm still a little bit new, but I'm not aware of any changes, but I'd be much more comfortable if the board could allow us to research it, make sure we give you the right numbers, what's changed, what hasn't changed, which would take a little time.
Mr. Graham.
Madam Chair, may I make a suggestion? I'd like to suggest that we dispose of my amendment, which seems to have a consensus, that I not take the friendly amendment, and then I'm prepared to move to postpone this matter as amended until the next meeting of the board and let us have all of the information we need, unless there is a pressing need to if there's a pressing need on the part of
we can wait till June on this one.
Okay, then may I suggest that we vote on my amendment, since that has apparently achieved consensus, and then I will move to postpone.
Fine. All right, then we will vote on the amendment made by Mr. Graham. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Now we have an amended recommendation before us. And we'll just send it back to committee without exception from the board.
As amended.
As amended, right. Thank you. Thank you. And that concludes today's meeting. And we thank you for switching your schedules around so that many of us can go to the Woodrow Wilson Bridge opening.